Hello and welcome back to For Mom Friends. This is a podcast dedicated to expanding our parental village and how to handle all important topics that arise while raising children. And today we have a topic that kind of came about with two experiences that two of our moms had. So Megan, why don't you jump in?
Okay, so what do you guys say to your children when they ask about heaven and hell? Because I picked up Penelope from school one day and I had to bring her to my mom's because I had to go back to a work event. And she was sort of rambling on about Martin Luther King going to heaven. And then she asked me, like, what's underground? And I didn't even understand what she was kind of asking me. So I was, you know, I'm driving and I'm not paying attention. So I was like, dirt, tree roots, worms. And she got so frustrated and she was like, no, mommy, if I be bad, do I go underground? And I was like, oh, you're talking, and I didn't even want to say it, but I was like, oh my God, she's talking about hell. But we happened to just like pull into my mom's driveway at that time. So I just like threw Penny in the house and I was like, Nana, she's asking about hell. Gotta go. Bye. And like, I just took off because I didn't even really know what to say. But in all seriousness, like that's one of the reasons we brought up this topic, because whatever you believe, whether you do believe or don't believe it, you're going to have answers for your kids to some degree. So we thought it was important to discuss sort of our do's and don'ts of navigating religion with your children. So I thought maybe we could all just really quickly say what our religious backgrounds are, so the people listening kind of know where we're all coming from. So Alex, why don't you start?
Right. I am what you would call culturally Jewish. I grew up going to Hebrew school twice a week. I had a bat mitzvah. I celebrate the major high holidays and fast when I need to and all that fun stuff. But I don't practice Shabbat weekly, and I most certainly don't keep kosher. I like my bacon cheeseburgers.
So my background is Catholicism. I mean, I grew up heavily in that religion. It went beyond like Sunday masses. I went to school, private school, my whole life through high school. I even went to Friday night prayer meetings with my parents. Until this day, like, my core values stem from Catholicism, but definitely my experiences have kind of redefined or reshaped my faith and my beliefs. So that's where I stand.
I'm really similar. I had a pretty similar experience with Gina. I grew up Christian. I say I'm non-denominational. And grew up going to church several times a week. It was like a huge part of my childhood and my life. I took a few years off from like actively practicing my faith during college and the time after that. But then in the last few years, I've kind of come back on my own terms, definitely in a new version, but like church is a really big part of our family's life. I'm at church once a week, but then I have a small group once a week, and I go to a mom's group at church once a week. So it's like a big portion of my life.
Megan.
I am just going to burn in a fiery pit somewhere because I was raised Catholic, and I did the whole thing. I don't even remember what it's called.
Like all the sacraments and everything.
I did all that. I got confirmed. I, you know, bent down on my knees a lot and prayed and ate the body of Christ and did all those things. But I do not believe in any of that. And so as an adult, I am not religious whatsoever. Yeah, I actually
Would you consider yourself atheist, or would you, do you believe in something?
Or are you
just
agnostic?
Yeah.
I think I don't believe in God. No, I don't believe in heaven or hell. I think I believe in like karma and
okay. Like universe.
Like there's definitely strengths that pull you in certain ways, or even if it's like planetary, like when Mercury's in retrograde, that I definitely feel that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I don't believe in any sort of organized religion.
Oh, okay.
I feel like you would do well with me in the culturally Jewish aspect.
Yeah, like I think I guess I'm culturally I guess I grew up in a Catholic family, so I guess I'm culturally Catholic to some degree. Like,
you're like corporation. Celebrate Christmas. Yeah, like you celebrate corporate stuff.
I'm a Hallmark holiday. Yeah, celebrate Christmas and Easter. And like, my child has no clue that Easter is a religious holiday. She straight up thinks it's a bunny, and I'm okay with that. Like, I couldn't even tell you what Easter is supposed to be religiously. A death, a birth, a rebirth. I don't even know. Jesus has risen, but where is he? I don't know. I have no idea. Oh.
And this is why Kansas? Megan wanted like... this topic to come about.
And yeah, but I love eating Cadbury cream eggs. So, like, I have no idea. I need help. I need help on this topic, you guys.
And Megan is definitely not alone with her experience. We know there's lots of people out there. And Alex, this past year, you kind of had an experience yourself that made us want to further explore the topic. So let's hear a little bit about that story.
Okay. So just a little bit more background. So like I said, I grew up going to temple and Hebrew school and all that stuff. But I feel like I'm with you a little bit, Megan, in that I don't know that I necessarily believe in God. I do believe that there is something out there that creates an energy that pulls in one direction or the other. But both Jeremy and I were raised that way. However, our mothers were raised different versions of Christianity. And so we both also grew up with that side of the family celebrating Christmas. So that makes things a little bit more complicated. Our house, we don't celebrate Christmas. It is snowmen and snowflakes and, you know, blue lights at Christmas time. But this is definitely the first year that Elijah was very aware of Christmas. And like at school, they do a good job on not saying, like talking about specific religious holidays, but how do you get away with not talking about Christmas? It just like is one of those things that they talk about. And I was really excited to get him involved in Hanukkah traditions and lighting the candles. And, you know, I grew up doing one present a night. And so that's what I do with him. But we were coming home one day from school and we were talking about the holidays and Christmas. And he goes, what did he say? He said, okay, but we're going to do Christmas in our house. And I go, no, we don't do Christmas. We do Hanukkah. And he's like, no, but we do Christmas and we do a Christmas tree. And I go, no, we don't. We can look at other people's Christmas trees and lights. And he goes, you're going to make me sad. And I go, but we have our own really fun traditions that we're going to do and the fun things that we get to, you know, explore and learn about. And so it was hard to kind of say like, well, we don't do that. We can have fun and celebrate it, but that's not what we do here. And I think for him to understand that split obviously is hard. So yeah, I mean, we got home like just in time and I was able to like kind of change his thought process in just the nick of time, but it was definitely a hard thing. And I'm sure we're going to go through it again next year because
he's going to be older.
And he's going to be older and a whole nother year will have passed and he won't remember.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I have to admit, you guys, when this topic was first brought up, like initial when we were just like, oh, maybe this is a topic. And then when you guys were like, this is the topic we're going to do, my heart started racing and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, we're going to talk about this. I had a lot of anxiety about it. And like, I didn't even want to listen to your Marco Polos sometimes because I was like, I can't get into this right now. Like, I just can't do it. And I know, Liz, you kind of had this a little bit kind of the same reaction as I did. And we both kind of said, you know, we're anxious. And I think we both are anxious for different reasons almost, or maybe the same, but a little bit different. But why were you anxious, Liz?
Well, I'm an anxious person. So I think it's funny to me that Gina and I are the ones who are anxious, and you two are the ones who are more culturally have these beliefs. And I think that explains why I feel anxious.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Christians are known for being judgy, people who look down on people who have different beliefs. I think there's this sadly, there's a lot of people who do practice their faith that way. And so I guess I have this big fear that I would make someone feel that way. I would, you know, it's a really big topic. Like, we're talking about really, at least for someone who it is a big part of their life, like, mm-hmm. I have very deep faith rooted in it. So I would never want, you know, especially you two, because you are such close friends, but anyone, I would never want them to think that I'm looking at them mm-hmm. and thinking that they're less than, or thinking, I think a lot of Christians think like you can't be a good person if you don't have faith. And that's just not true.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people who don't have a faith, but still have like core moral values
mm-hmm.
that yeah. really align with mine. And, you know, if you talk to my mom or a lot of older Christians or just different Christians, my values are very different. I'm mm-hmm. very liberal, but it's hard. Sorry, politics is so big right now because we've got the elections going on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've been talking a lot about how my faith and politics, like, are the reason I feel this way. Like, I believe yeah. we should have universal health care because Jesus took care of the sick. Like, mm-hmm. it's funny because I think people, like, feel opposite of me in a mm-hmm. lot of ways, but I'm like, no, that's why I feel that way. So I guess because, you know, as like a counselor and like who I am as a person, I would never want anyone to feel that I'm looking at them as less than. I think my big fear is when we're talking about religion that I would have, they're either assuming that I feel that way or something that I say could come off and be interpreted that way.
Yeah.
So I think I've actually been thinking about a lot this week because I usually just ignore it and like don't think about it.
Gina, can you explain about what you were so anxious about?
So I, first of all, am not a confrontational person. Like, I don't like conflicts. I usually am just, I've said this before in like the last episode, I'm a yes person. So I don't like there to be like conflict. I get very anxious when there is, especially when it's between people I care about. But I think being with you guys, and because we are so four different people, it's helped me kind of learn that you can have these differences and be able to talk about it and still respect each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want for my kids. And so even though I was anxious to kind of talk about it, I want that, even though I am uncomfortable, I want my kids to see that I am doing it. And, but yeah, it's kind of how Liz touched on like the judgment thing. I feel like religion and your belief system, it is a part of who you are. So it's a very personal topic, and I don't want people, you know, I never want to feel judged or being pinpointed at. So kind of in the same respects as Liz, that's why I kind of got anxious. But the reason why I pulled myself out of it and was like, okay, I'm going to do this, was because I don't want the conversation to stop. And I want my yeah. kids to know not to stop that conversation. And kids aren't asking you the whys, or Elijah wasn't asking you, why don't we do this? Even though he said he'd feel sad. It's just they're kids, you know, they're mm-hmm. learning and trying to navigate this world. And they have that innocence that I just want to know. I just want to learn. And so I think it's important to talk about and learn how to communicate it. So kind of going into more details of like how do we talk about this with our kids, because it is important.
You know, we put it on Instagram and we said, you know, how do people talk about it? And so many people wrote like, I'm doing a poor job at this.
I think everyone does a poor job at it.
Yeah, like help.
And I think it's because people don't talk about it. I think because either they have anxiety from Liz's perspective or anxiety from my perspective, I think because it is so personal, people don't want to talk about it. But I think it is important that they do. So the first step is just starting to talk about it, whether it be with your friends, whether it be through us, if you want to message us or email us, just taking that step of talking about it, and then you can segue into talking about it with your kids. So I think for me, the first step is just doing the action.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, this is one thing that I think my parents did well, or like my upbringing, that was a big part of it. I went to a small private school, but it was a non-religious school. And so we had, like, it was super diverse, ethnically, culturally, like in all these ways. And so I think that's one thing I really want for my son, is I want to grow up surrounded by people who have different beliefs, who look different ways, who speak different languages, because that is like a really natural way to lead to these conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Oliver is going to see Elijah celebrating Hanukkah. And like, mm-hmm. that's so much easier to have this conversation than just like sitting him down and being like, well, some people think this.
Do this.
Like it's just much more natural. So I think along with a lot of other added benefits of, you know, being surrounded by people who think differently, I think that's important for all kids. But I think that is definitely one good way that we can all like try and make that first step too.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And where we, I grew up in the Valley in LA, so like 85% of the people were Jewish. And same thing, I went to private school that was non-denominational, but it just seemed like majority of people were Jewish. Now living in the South Bay, surprisingly, is very diverse. You would not think that, but I mean, where we live, there's a lot of Asian communities, a lot of Samoan communities, a lot of like, you know, just a lot of very different people. And when you look at the breakdown of his elementary school and the types of like, what are we having brain fart? Like what our ethnicities are, you know, it's really diverse. White, Caucasian white is on a minority. So I think it's going to be a really interesting, just like time for him to grow up and get to experience a lot of different ethnicities, not just religious, you know, religiously, but I'm excited for that. I think
Megan, I feel like for you, it's a little bit different and maybe a little bit harder because because of your belief system. I mean, it's yeah. I know you kind of said on Marco Polo of like, I need help. How?
Yeah. One of the things, and I've talked about this with my sister a lot too, like being a non-believer, how do I explain to my children that in our world, heaven and hell are not real without diminishing, devaluing the things that her friends and neighbors feel and experience, right?
So I don't know if you know, but in the Jewish faith, generally, heaven and hell is not something we believe in.
Well, I know that about, so, like, I don't know a ton about the Jewish faith, I will admit that, but I was raised Catholic. Like, it's very, the way I was raised was very fire and brimstone. If you don't apologize every Sunday, you will burn in hell. It will hurt, it's fiery, there's rocks. Like, it's very bad the way it was, like, explained to me.
And now you're still going to go to hell and burn, so it's fine.
But, like, one of my best childhood friends growing up, I remember, like, was just so afraid of sinning because of hell. And it, like, dictated how she lived her life, even, like, robbing her of certain happinesses because the fear of enjoying something that she maybe wasn't supposed to enjoy at a certain age or whatever.
It's that Catholic guilt.
It's that Catholic guilt. And I'm not saying I don't have guilt or I'm not saying I don't have a moral compass. I think mine was probably more shaped by, like, my parents. Like, I'm afraid of doing things wrong. I'm afraid of getting in trouble. I'm afraid of disappointing people, but I'm not afraid of this like lifelong punishment that I'll die in hell, right? And so how I've really struggled with how we, you know, we moved back to Massachusetts because our whole family's here and we really believe in like these smaller communities and where everyone knows everyone and you all kind of like help each other out. And with those smaller communities, there's a lot of like religious I'm not going to use the word pressure. That's definitely not the right word. But pretty much everyone here is Catholic, right? I don't know any Jewish people. I know one Jewish guy here, and he's from Connecticut. So, like, it's not – there's just not a lot of diversity. I would say there's starting to be more cultural diversity, and that's awesome. But I'm not seeing a lot of religious diversity right now.
Liz, you look like things are turning in there.
I know. So all of Penny's friends here are Catholic, basically. And they, you know, their families go to church and they believe in all of that. And that's wonderful. And I don't ever want to take that away from them. But when she says to me, Mommy, is heaven real? My answer is no. You know, like, and I'm trying to be kind and explain, like, honey, when you get older, you can
make your own decisions.
Your faith and make your own decisions. And you can believe whatever feels good in your heart. You know, she'll say something like, did Grammy go to heaven? And I'm like, if that's what you want to believe, yeah, Grammy went to heaven. Like, I believe Grammy's soul is just out there, and that bird that comes to my window every morning is my Grammy. Like, that's what I choose to believe, but I'm an adult, and I can fathom those concepts myself. Like,
but Megan, I think you're doing a much I think you're doing a much better job at this than you're giving yourself credit for. Because I think the point is, right? You don't think that. I think the point is that for all parenting aspects, you're going to do what's appropriate for their age. So, you know, you're going to talk to her what's appropriate for her age. And a lot of that is just having those kinds of, like, exactly what you said, I think is perfect.
Yeah.
And I think you can talk about, you know, some people feel this way and I feel this way. And I think that's totally an appropriate way to, you know, you, even if you're having that internal dialogue of like, and I think they're crazy for it. Like, you're not saying that part. And I think as long as you're just, the whole point is education. Like, you're just trying to educate. They feel this way and mama feels this way. I think that if you come at it from an educational standpoint, you're right. You're not surrounded by these people, but you can take the opportunities that you find to just, like, educate in any way you can. And like you said, you're not super educated, so you could even look at it as an opportunity to educate yourself.
To get
you know,
it.
Like, yeah. If she comes home and asks a question about Hanukkah, you're like, well, I don't know. Like, let's figure it out. Like, yeah. Let's call Auntie Alex. For or, like, sure. Let's look it up and learn more. I think you have that attitude as a person. So I think you're going to do a much better job at this than you give yourself credit for.
So remember a few days ago on Marco Polo, I said something and you guys got fired up. So I want to bring it up again because this is another, like, for me, this is like a big struggle point. You know, she obviously heard and learned something at school about Adam and Eve. So she came home and she said, Mom, the first two humans, you know, on the planet. And she said their names, I think she was like slightly off. And I realized she was saying Adam and Eve. And I had to be like, that for me, like, this is, I don't want to sound offensive, but like, that's, in my world, that's not real, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not, mm-hmm. And I live in a very fact and fiction. I'm very literal. And mm-hmm. to me, I was like, well, no, that's, I don't know where you learned that, but no, we believe in evolution. You know, we've talked about how adults or humans came from monkeys, and we've seen pictures of that. I've shown her books of that, and that's what we believe. But again, I don't want to diminish what she's experiencing in her community and what her friends mm-hmm. believe, and I don't want to say that's not real, this is real. It's hard to say, it's hard to, what you said before is like, what mama believes is this. I can do that, but to mm-hmm. some degree, she's looking mm-hmm. for what's real and what's not real, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. She's trying to latch on to mm-hmm. a compass, a moral compass of what is right and what is wrong, what is left and what is right, what is up and what is down, so what is real and what is not real. And that's where I struggle to not be offensive.
And I think at that point, you can kind of put it in a way that's personal, because religion is personal. You know, you can say, well, for mommy, this is what's real. You know, it's a scientific, they were able to go down, this is what they found. But for some other people, this is what their truth is. This is what's real to them because. And if you don't know why, maybe find, like Liz said, find someone out there who does believe in it and say, and ask them about it. Why do they believe in that so full-heartedly? Because then you are helping her in her own belief system. You know, maybe she's not at the right age right now, but maybe later on, and just be like, well, these are what people believe in, and everybody has their own truth. And some people grew up in a culture and a heritage that has been passed down generation to generation. Alex was mentoring before, you know, these are the stories that were passed down, and culture is so ingrained in people, and it's their ancestors. And for some people, they take it very, very seriously, and other people, they've expanded and diverged from that. But I think just saying, you know, that making it feel like fact or fiction, I think is where it was like, oh my gosh, like, no, like, this isn't a lie to me. This is real, right. You know, I'm not saying what I believe in, but feeling
well,
that,
like,
way.
Right. And like I said, I think on the Marco Polo with taking it as stories is, you know, this is the story of Adam and Eve. And these are the things that I take from that story and why I believe A, B, and C. And maybe so-and-so takes the story and has these beliefs, and that's why they believe this. And I think you really have to just say, this is why I, like Gina said, this is, I believe this, and this is why, and kind of leave it at that. And I think that maybe that doesn't give her the answer she wants in the moment, but eventually as she gets older, it'll.
We're both on that.
Yeah.
I think that when Alex brought that up, it like clicked for me when you brought up like using that language. I was like, yes.
Yes.
Because.
Does everyone believe that Jonah really got swallowed by a whale?
Exactly. I mean, really. So the Bible is stories, right? Yes. And it's like culture passed down these things. I don't believe most of it's literal. Like, most of it is not. I don't believe that God created the earth in 7 days. You know, I think it's just, we learn from them. They're parables.
They are parables.
We should learn and we should, you know, they're how to treat humans. They're how to do this. So I think it's really easy, and you're not diminishing my religion when you tell her that, like, oh, the Bible tells this story of Adam and Eve, but we actually believe this. And yeah. I got riled up, too, because I also believe in science.
Yeah, you know? Me too.
I think that God was involved in that process, but I also think God made science. Like, so... But you know what? There's plenty of people out there who don't. So true, I see why you have that. Like, let's not, you don't want her to start thinking that way. You want to teach her, like, this is the truth. That's important. I get that, like, desire as a mother.
I also feel like all topics, not just religion, there are so many things that I think children should not really worry about as children, right?
Absolutely.
Like, when you're 20... When you are 20 and your brain is developed and you have emotions and feelings and you can self-regulate and you can self-identify and you can figure out what things mean to you, go by all means explore every single thing, your gender, your identity, your sexuality, your religion, your belief system, and figure out who you are. And I'm going to be 100% supportive. I don't really believe in like paving a path for a child and saying this is the path. That you have to walk for the rest of your life. I mean, in some way, I guess I am in the fact that I'm saying we're
you
not
guide them. But like, no.
Yeah. Like, honey, you can believe in this if it makes sense to you, but that's not what I believe. When you're older, you can make your own decisions. I'm sure my parents wish I was more religious. Like, they are religious people. My dad said, God bless me or God bless you. I don't know. Just as like.
Well, that's also a saying.
Like,
that's a saying.
But I mean, like at my wedding, you know, and I was like, oh, how did, I don't get it. Who? He's not here. Like, I'm just marrying Charlie. It just, you know, I'm sure they wish I was more religious, but I'm just not. So I want her to identify with whatever she wants to identify with, or actually both my children. It's just that Elliot doesn't speak yet. when they're older. But Gina, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Because I'm a little sweaty and I feel like I need it turned away from me. so I know that, like, we've talked a lot about how you sort of, you've always, you know, you've been raised Catholic and it's a big part of your life, but you'll say, you've said there's a lot of things in the Catholic religion I don't believe. So one of my questions to you is, Hayden's of a certain age. Like, he's really smart. He's older than the, you know, the 4 or 5 toddler preschool age we're sort of talking about. How do you talk to him about the things or the piece, you know, if you sit in church and you hear something and you're kind of like, oh, wait, I don't really believe that. How do you teach him that it's okay to stray without devaluing and erasing his trust in the church that he's experiencing every day?
Okay.
Does that question make sense?
That's a great question. I'm starting to get shaky again, you guys. I don't know if it's the coffee and that's all I've had this morning or what. But so to start off, I guess I should say that my faith or Catholicism for me is a huge undertaking. I think this is another reason why I get so anxious about it, because I grew up, you know, so... It was so heavily influenced upon me. Like, this is, like you were saying, Megan, like, it was paved for me. You are a Catholic. This is what we believe in. We go to Sunday Mass. You have your Catholic friends. Like, you go to private school. I went to private school from kindergarten to 12th grade. That's a lot of Catholic to take in, you know? and then when I got to college, I noticed that there's other things. Not to say that my education from those schools was bad, or we looked at and they made me look down upon people, because it didn't. I mean, we actually, one of our classes was religions around the world. So we got to learn about religions around the world. But I struggled a lot in college, kind of. Liz, I assume you did too, because you had that break from your faith, because your eyes are opened. You know, you learn new things, you see different people. And so my religion and my belief systems ever growing and ever progressing. And I'm always an open book to learn more. So when, Megan, you were talking about the universe, like, I've looked into that. I have a lot of friends who are like, oh, it's Aries season, watch out for this. It's Leo season, watch out for that. And crystals and all that stuff. And I think the way that I take my faith is what I want Hayden, is how I talk to Hayden about it. So I have three pillars that you guys have heard about through Marco Polo and through here of I want Hayden at the end of the day to know with our faith, our core value, and I think with a lot of people out there, even if you're not religious, is to love one another, right? To respect each other. And we do that by communicating, educating ourselves, and respecting ourselves. So those are the things that I want Hayden to understand. And then from there, I want him to know that faith and religion is something personal. You know, your everyday interactions, like I said before, is going to shape how you think. And just because someone may think differently, even if it's something as big as the church, doesn't mean you should just shut them out or stop listening to what they have to say. Communication doesn't end at being able to articulate yourself and articulate what you believe, but it's also being able to listen and take in what other people are saying. So it's not... people are talking, what am I going to say next? How am I going to rebuttal? It's really taking in what they're saying and saying like, oh, okay, I see your point of view. And even if you don't agree, that's fine. You don't have to always agree with them, but at least keep that door open. At least keep yourself open to learning and growing, because once you stop that conversation, you're only limiting yourself. You're stopping your growth, not just for yourself, but for other people to be able to want to listen to you too. So I think that's kind of how I handle those situations with Hayden. And we've always been able to talk to each other. So being truthful about it too. If there's something I don't understand, then, you know, he's going to know, because he's going to go in his life. I don't want him to go in his life thinking, well, I need to know everything, or mommy knows everything, because mommy doesn't. Mommy does not know a lot, and that's okay. And I want him to be like, it's okay if I don't know everything, but I'm willing to learn about it.
Yeah.
I think actually being able to say that you do not know is probably one of the biggest things as being a parent, just being able to acknowledge that and let your kids understand that we are not the end all knowing, like, this is it. And I think that's a huge thing. Religious, you know, political, math.
Yeah, I agree. Even I as agree a human, too. I think that's great.
Penny always just says, Google it. And I'm like, everything.
Siri, I love your, can you tell when you me? Do your Penny voice. I have to say, I really related to one piece of that, because I related to a lot of it, but specifically when you talked about, like, talking about how, like, God is love, like, or, like, that's one of your foundations, like, that's how you want him to see it. I think that's a really good point. I'm the only one out of the four of us who hasn't had to do this aspect of parenting yet, because Oliver's not, like, I haven't had to explain anything to him, you know?
It's all so easy, isn't it?
Yeah, right? I'm like, oh, I can't wait to answer the questions of the universe. Like, to me, that was, like, that just hit home, because, like, that's how I feel about my faith. You know, there's plenty of people who I could disagree with and argue with who also say they're Christians. I try to live my life the way Jesus lived his life. And I think when you come down to the foundation of who Jesus was, like, they talk about how God is love. That's, like, a lot of the Bible verses, you know, that's very common. You hear that a lot. And I just was looking this up. I Googled it, like we were just saying. One of the verses that, like, really meant a lot was saying how, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So the whole point of that is, like, we're supposed to practice what he's preaching and, like, love everyone else. So I think that when it comes down to it, I feel like I can just go back to that point with Oliver whenever we get to that point. Like, you know, I think it's important to be transparent and be like, you know, I don't know. Like, or it's how we have to interpret the Bible. It's not clear. It's not laid out for us. But I think everything that I want it to come back to when I'm at that point where we're having conversations is that, you know, God loved us and we're supposed to love everyone else. He asked us to love people, and that's all we can do. We just have to be good people and be kind and treat others in that way, whether they feel the same way or don't, on every level.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the hardest parts for me, and one of the reasons why I'm like, I want to be truthful for Hayden straight on, is because of my relationship with my parents. Like, my dad, I love my parents to death, don't get me wrong. I think they're the sweetest parents in the world. They're the most welcoming people ever. They truly, I mean, that's where the idea of loving everybody comes from, is from my parents. They truly, truly love everybody. My dad especially. Like, every time my friends came over, he was always like, oh, it's my other daughter. How's my other daughter? Like, he always adopted people into our family. But at the same time, my dad is very heavily Catholic. Like, he's still going to school. Like, he studied the Bible, both the Old Testament, New Testament, got certified as, like, a knower of the Bible. I don't know what that costs, but knower of the Bible. And he's, like, he's getting his master's in theology. And, but there have been arguments with him because he is a devout Catholic. I don't know. But I mean, like I said, there's some things with the church or some interpretations of the Bible or of the faith that I don't agree with. And we haven't been able to communicate that. And I don't want that to happen to me and Hayden. I don't want him to feel, just because later on in life, if he disagrees with what I've said or what I've taught him, I don't want him to feel like he can't come to me and talk to me about it. I want that to be open.
And I think another thing on that is that's really interesting about faith, and maybe this is from my perspective. I don't know, Megan, if you feel differently, but I feel like if you guys are open and Hayden were to come to you and say, but why don't you believe it? Because don't you think it's saying this and this and this? And maybe you can change your mind. Mm-hmm. Maybe what you believe can, I mean, you can be swayed and it adapts, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when you, as you grow and have different experiences. So I don't think it's all just black and white and I believe this and that's all it has to be.
I've had two experiences since moving back to Massachusetts where moms of teenage girls have said to me, sort of like, my daughter, you know, I raised my kids Catholic and we go to church every Sunday and we do this and we do that and my kids don't believe in it. It makes me so angry. And they're like, what did I do wrong? You know, what happened to her that she doesn't believe? One actually was way less upset about it and was more like, I think she'll come around as she has different life experiences. But one was very, very angry. And I couldn't even really get involved in the conversation, just being so, like, I don't know, anti-religious that I didn't really feel like I had much to stand on, except for the fact that I'm sort of in the same boat with my family. But yeah, if your kids, Liz and Gina, grow up and they're adults and they're like, I'm atheist or I'm agnostic or I believe in crystals and pot. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, if they are so opposite of you, how do you feel about that?
For me, I've always been one. When I grew up in Catholicism, the biggest takeaway I got is living through my actions. And because I went through that time where I separated myself from the church, or I wasn't going to church and I was just kind of having fun, living college life, living that single life, like, and exploring what I believed, I knew that if I were, what I didn't like was people telling me I had to do it. I had to go to church because you just have to. To me, if you're going to go and you believe in something, or if you go to church and you don't go in it with the heart, then what's the point? Like, if your heart's not there in anything you do, then why are you doing it? You know, you need to find that out for yourself. And if Hayden comes to me and he's like, well, I don't believe in this, then let's open the conversation again. You know, okay, how did you get to that point? You know, just so I can understand his story, because at the end of the day, my cousin brought this up too. She's like, because my nephew just turned 21. She's like, when he's 21, when Hayden's that age, are you going to let him go to a strip club? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, he's an adult. He's gone through his experiences. I can't control him. I never want to control anybody, because when I was controlled, I rebel. I go opposite, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to tarnish our relationship. So it's just keeping that conversation open and being like, let's talk about it. What happened? What led you that way? And if he's happy, or if he, you know, if he isn't harming himself and not harming others, then let's find the similarities in what we believe in and cherish that with each
and
other.
Also,
and celebrate it.
I think with what you're saying, you
oh no.
Gina, with what you were saying, I think it's also important that you don't want that conversation to shut off. So if he disagrees with you, like, you don't want him. I think there were phases of my life where I just, like, hid things from my parents in college.
I mean, I think that's all parents, all kids.
Yeah. But, my mom and I are,
talk you guys are very
daily.
Close. Yeah.
We talk, like, several times a day. You know, we're talking about living together one day. We're very, very close. I shared everything with her always, but when I wasn't, it's because I didn't want her to judge me, and I was ashamed, and I knew the things I was doing. Like, when I stopped going to church, I knew that they were against the Bible. Like, God wasn't for it. You know, I was having fun, and I didn't want to confront I didn't want to think about why I felt that way. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't tell my mom. I never want Oliver or my future children to ever, like, not be able to come, even if it makes me sad, even if it makes me disappointed. And to come back to your question, Megan, I don't know how I'd feel. I think it's a big question. I think most aspects in life, if he, whatever he chooses to do, I will be accepting. Whoever he chooses to be, I'm going to love him, you know, unconditionally. I think if he chose to follow a different faith, or feel differently, agnostic or atheist, the only thing I can think of now is that I'd be sad. It's not a disappointment in him. It's not that he let me down. But I think that, to me, there's so many things, like, it would make me sad. I think that's it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would try and make him feel bad about it. I think that would be the thing that I would really try not to do, because again, I don't want to shut the conversation down. I don't want him to think he's done something wrong. But, my faith has been the most important thing for me when things are bad. Mm-hmm. Actually, when I lost my dad is when I really came back to my faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was really life-saving. It was going through something so traumatic. And so I think, not that people who can't get through terrible things, Megan, you've gotten through terrible things. You've had really difficult times. You lean on different things. You lean on us. Yeah. You lean on your family.
Yoga,
I think that
yoga.
I think that's all I can think until if I experienced it and if I felt differently, but right now that's all I can imagine.
And I think that's important why you as a parent should reflect on the whys for yourself, you know, so that you have that foundation. And I don't think once they get to that age, once they're older and you have that conversation, I don't think it'd be bad for you to be like, well, I am sad. I think if you expand upon it of why, well, this is why I'm sad, and this is why I believe in it, because, or why I came back to my faith is because this happened to me, or why I chose not to go back to my faith, this is what happened. And I think if, as long as you keep that conversation open and you keep yourself honest, not just with who you're talking to, but with yourself, is a great starting point.
So, Megan, I'm going to flip it. What if Penny grew up and decided she wanted to be religious of whatever faith? How would you feel about it?
I mean, I think at a certain age.
Yeah, let's assume she's like, you know.
Yeah. If she's like 20 or older, right? Like, if she's an adult and can educate herself and can think through things rationally and can seek a community that she feels a part of, I really don't think I will mind. I think it would just be one of those things where, like, we just wouldn't agree, and that's okay. But same as what you guys are saying, like, I don't think I would shut the conversations off. I would let her tell me what she wants to tell me, or talk to me about what she wants to talk to me. I would let her challenge me as to why I don't believe. Like, I think I would be happy to explore all of that with her. I don't think I would be disappointed. Like, at all. I don't think I would be sad. I don't think I would be embarrassed or ashamed or anything. I think I would wonder, I guess if I'm being really honest, I would wonder, like, who talked to you? who made you feel like this you way. Wanted to explore and become a religious person? Like, I think my only red flag would be is if it sort of came on the heels of a relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. I, as a woman, like, you know, it's really easy to kind of fall for somebody and then fall for everything that they believe in. Mm-hmm. And lose your own beliefs. I think mm-hmm. this happens a lot. Yeah. And that would be the only time that I would be kind of questioning, like, where is this coming from? I do think, like, if she went to college and took a bunch of classes and just became enamored, that's an entirely appropriate response, you know, and I would be 100% supportive. But if she's like, Mom, oh my God, Jake, and he's so cute, and he goes to church every Sunday, and, like, I'd be like, I know. No. But again, I mean, it's hard to think that far ahead. I know you guys kind of said that, but I think I would be open to whoever she becomes as long as she's choosing to become that.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, how do we talk to your kids about other faiths, or if they come home, they're like, well, Megan, when Penny came home, was like, what's heaven and hell? Am I going to go to hell underground? But I think we should also touch on, like, the flip side of it. The what if your kids come home and they were the target of either discrimination or just they were targeted by their friends of why do you believe that? You know, why are you like that? I'm not like that. How do we deal with that aspect of our faith and our belief system? Anybody?
Liz, the school counselor?
The school counselor.
Liz, the school counselor. Well, I'll jump in because I think that this is probably more likely to happen to Elijah than any of your kids, at least in the current climate. Mm-hmm. The fact that there are so many schools being targeted and temples being targeted, it even made Jeremy and I kind of wonder, do we want to send Elijah to Hebrew school? Because is he safe if he goes to Hebrew school going to a temple? And I do hope that that will change at some point in the future. But in the current climate, who knows? But I think also because we're more culturally Jewish instead of really focusing on the religious aspect of it, I hope that we can remind him of what is important. And to me, one of the biggest takeaways from our culture and my large family is just that family is what's important. Your family, and that can also be your friends and your community, but that if you have friends or you have people that you go to school with that can't accept you for who you are, then they are not part of your family and they shouldn't be. And so I hope that at least they're not your friends and they should not be part of your family.
I think that's a really good point.
I don't know that that'll help anything, but
I sort of feel like, Alex, I feel very similarly about anything, but if we're talking about religion, but like if someone is going to make fun of my children or belittle them or bully them about a topic, whether that's the way they look or the things that they believe or the way that they act or talk or speak, my hope is that I can do an okay job telling them that, like, you are perfect the way you are and everyone is different. And, you know, you don't make fun of how other people act, believe, think, talk, mm-hmm. do. So we don't tolerate other people making fun of us. And if that means you no longer speak to that person, if that means you advocate for yourself, if that means you tell a teacher, whatever it is, that their behavior is not okay. Your behavior is perfectly fine. The way you believe is perfectly fine. The way you act and dress and talk and think and do is perfectly fine. It's their behavior that's the problem. So don't think that you need to change anything.
I agree. So yeah. I think we're really trying to just raise our kids to, like, put stock in the opinions that matter. And like you were saying, like, yes. That's your family. That's your friends, the people who treat you kind, people who are being mean to you or to others, whether it's about religion or the way you look or all these other things, you know, it doesn't mean it won't hurt. It doesn't mean they won't come home and not be sad. But I think that trying to help them realize that those aren't the opinions that matter. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we want to listen to the people who are good, who treat people good. And like you said, like, kind people don't do that. So we're not going to, we're going to, you know, you can hurt and you can be sad, but then we're not going to listen to those people. And we're not going to keep putting ourselves in that situation.
Yeah. And I think, Megan, when you said advocate for yourself and advocate for others, that's one of the major things that I try to help Hayden understand and implement at school, because he is at that age, you know, where bullying can happen, where belittling can happen. And, you know, he's had a couple new students in his class this year, and he came home. He's like, oh, we had a new student. I'm like, did you go sit with him at lunch? And he's like, no. I'm like, well, be that kid. You know, I want Hayden to understand to be that kid, to not be afraid to rise above, you know, to rise above those bad actions. Just because someone does that doesn't mean, like you said, Megan, you don't, that doesn't make your behavior change into that. You can rise above that. You, like I said before, with actions speak louder than words. I want Hayden to use his actions to help them understand, you know, we don't know why they're bullying. We don't know if that's coming from a place at home where they're being bullied and that's what they're seeing. So show them a different way of living. Show them a way to be able to talk to people. If it's so bad, then step away. It's okay to step away, but don't stop how you're acting. Don't stop being the one that goes out and says, are you okay? You know, do you want help? Do you want me to sit with you? Don't stop that just because someone has made you feel bad about yourself.
I already told Elijah that the other day. There was a newer kid. I think they had a new group of kids come into his daycare class, and he said, well, so-and-so is mean. And I go, well, he doesn't want to play with me. And I was like, well, did you ask him? Maybe he's afraid. He doesn't know anybody. Maybe, you know, he doesn't have any friends in this class. Why don't you try and reach out and go ask if he wants to play with you? And he pushed back on it. He goes, no, because he's mean. And I go, well, maybe once you ask to play, he won't be mean anymore. So it's definitely maybe there are some kids that act that way on their own, but it seems to not be the first instinct to push back against that, you know.
Yeah. I remember my friend, he wrote this thing on Facebook where it just like warmed my heart. And that's one of the reasons why I'm like, Hayden, rise above, like be that kid that, you know, that's like, this is who I am and I'm okay with who I am. And I think the story was this kid, and he was saying bye to his mom, and he hugged his mom. And when he walked to his friends were like making fun of him, like, oh, you still hug your mom? And he looked at them and was like, well, why wouldn't I? And then just put his arm around his friends and started walking away. And it's like, that's the kid I want Hayden to be. Just being like, well, why wouldn't I? You know, like, this is who I am. This is how I express myself. And I'm okay with it. Let's just go on our day, you know?
Never stop hugging your mom.
I know. I would cry if Elijah said that.
So I want to come back to the original question of how do we talk about our kids? How do we talk to our kids about religion? And I think through our conversation today, we've kind of all agreed, even though we all have these different beliefs, these different thoughts, I think it's all about just continuing the conversation, both with our children, but also just with each other. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of it is being able to question your own beliefs and come to like your whys and why do you feel that way and how have you come to this? I think it's going to give you more confidence in having those conversations with others and with your kids and figuring out how to talk to them about it. Because they are hard conversations, but, you know, if we want to raise our kids to be open and loving of all beliefs, then we have to have those hard conversations. And I know we all want that as mothers. We want to raise our children to be kind. So we kind of, you know, even though it makes some of us anxious, we kind of have to push and we have to do that. So I just want to thank you for joining us for this difficult conversation. And we hope it inspires you to have some more of these tough talks.
Thank you, everyone. Yes. And don't forget that you can always email us at formomfriends@gmail.com. Hit us up on Instagram if you're not following us. Slip into our DMs if you ever have questions. We are more than happy to answer, whether it's just to all of us or to specific one of us. If you've identified or related to one of our stories, we are open books and we are more than happy to talk more. Thank you so much to everyone once again for listening. And any last words for this episode, at least?
Speak your truth.
Speak your truth.
Thank you guys for loving me, even though I'm a heathen.
And that's the episode, everyone. We love you. We hear you. We thank you. And we'll catch you next time.